Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are on the 30th of August, 2016.
Huh.
This will be the last day of this month, and another month goes by, and we're still not rich.
Yeah. We're not? No. Donations have been coming in. By the way, you opened the door, so I'll mention it. If you do want to donate to the show because maybe you made some money, you like us, you love us, you hate us, whatever the reason is, you have some extra money from the sale of Beanie Babies, I don't know, it could be anything. You can go over to the dhunplugged.com website and click the little button. You could do a recurring payment. You could do a single payment. Anything helps because we're starving actors. We're starving entertainers.
Now that you mentioned Beanie Babies.
Yeah.
I think we should discuss that, the little element of history.
Yeah. So for those of you who know that are of the age that remember the Beanie Baby craze, and when it was going on, it didn't seem that absurd for some reason, but just looking.
Yes, it did to me.
I guess it looked absurd. It did. But it was just, it was happening. You know, people were. These little, what were they? Little stuffed animals.
There were a cheap imitation of a Steiff,
right.
Stuffed animal, right. The German, which are collectible, mm-hmm. You know, and they're reasonable to collect. And my wife has a whole bunch of latkes. She has a whole, like a bag full. A latke was one of the main dogs they used to sell, which was the first dog in space, latke, the Russian dog.
Or a potato pancake in Yiddish.
Oh, yes, it's true. Now, these things were a fad. It was ridiculous, and they were foreboding for the crash of 2000, the Y2K.com crash. And they went from being worth, God knows what, to, and they had TV shows. There was one TV show I used to watch that had these guys on there selling the special collectibles. And then they became worthless overnight. And now I find out that, according to you, your daughter sent you an article that these things are starting to become worth something again in some minor way.
Yeah, she sent me an article and she was going through, hey, by the way, if you happen to have Beanie Babies, just to let you know, there's a new market for these. And she was, now who knows if this is true, but the list of from this article was showing, this one was sold for $3,800. This one for $2,200. This unbelievably rare one, this is where the only problem comes in, sold for $38,000. I'm thinking
doesn't sound right.
Nope. But anyway, there is the potential. So what I did was I said to my wife, I said, I know we had a bag of those. We had two girls in the time. They were young, so we were collecting these things. And I said, do we still have these? She says, yes, come over here. So we walked into a room in a closet, and there's, she says, those two bags, those two garbage bags up there, those are all Beanie Babies. I said, you're kidding me. So I know I have at least one thing that could be a collectible. I was at an All-Star game back in the 90s. I think it was in Boston, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe not. But anyway, a baseball game. And they were actually giving away Beanie Babies that were made specifically for the All-Star game. It's like a red, white, and blue Beanie Baby. It said something about the All-Star game of whatever on it. So, you got to leave the tag on. So I'm hoping that maybe... I'm just telling you, and this is actually just something you need to know, that if it is worth a lot of money, I'm not going to do the show anymore.
I can guarantee it's not worth that much.
No? Yeah.
I'm not going to do the show anymore. You're pre-quitting.
Just laying it out there.
Pre-quitting the show.
Yeah. All right, let me tell you what's going on with markets. Clearly in a wait-and-see mode. We saw that this week we have coming up the employment report. Now, last week, there's always all eyes are on last week's meeting at Jackson Hole, where economists, analysts, and all sorts of fun folk get together to, they do a little bit of work, a little bit of play, and they have all these speeches by central bankers from around the world. So the big thing was Janet Yellen on Friday at 10 a.m. She came out, and then as soon as she comes out, the headlines there's a stronger case for a rate hike now than has been. So markets got kind of a little bit upset about that. But when you read down the whole text of the speech, she was just as dovish as always. As a matter of fact, she talked about you know, in the event there is another financial crisis, well, they could easily come up with $2 trillion to buy more bonds. Because they do make it out of thin air, I guess. So they can.
I didn't catch that.
Yeah. There's another $2 trillion available for bond purchases in the event of an economic shock.
Huh.
I don't know where they come up with this number. Why just stop there? You know what? Why not say $5 trillion? If it is just money that's created out of nowhere, because that's what they do, right?
It seems so, yeah.
That's what they do. They don't. The Fed doesn't have money.
Yeah, the mechanism. It's just it's some writing on a piece of paper.
Yep. We owe you.
Yeah, yeah.
You owe us, we owe you.
We owe you, you owe somebody, owes somebody, right. But it's just how much.
Yeah, so she was pretty dovish. The markets actually went up after that, about 0.5%, a little bit more. And then the next speaker, Vice Chair Fisher, he kind of upset the markets because he was kind of talking much more about a rate hike, and one and done is not really the way it should be. There's a potential for at least a rate hike this year. And that kind of spooked markets. They were down 0.5%. I think there was a 287-point range on the Dow. It didn't seem like a big deal. It wasn't like really crazy moves. But, you know, there's contradictions with the Fed speakers, I think, is a game that they have perfected. Keep everybody on this.
Sounds like it's something you could play if you knew what they were, you know, had any clue.
Well, I heard, I think it was on, I think I was watching a Fast Money episode, and somebody was talking about, you know, hawkish in talk, dovish in action. They talk a little bit hawkish. They try to, you know, tamper down expectations, but then they just don't do anything. And why are they agonizing over 25 basis points is beyond me. Agonizing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's ludicrous.
It's ridiculous. So now on this, where the potential for a rate hike is, you know, a little bit more possible than it was before, we have an employment report coming out this week on Friday. And the last time we saw a very good employment report, inflation's kind of close to where it should be. Manufacturing's decent. New home sales are, you know, really moving, and housing prices in many areas are peaking, even higher than they were ever before. And now what's happening is that once again, as they're hinting towards the potential for a rate hike, the dollar is starting to gain again, which is something that they don't want. It's happening. So I put a chart on DH Unplugged. You can see the U.S. dollar, which is a basket of various currencies against the dollar, just crossed above its 50-day moving average for the first time since, I guess, the beginning of August, just for a little time there. That's probably when...
it looked like it was plummeting for, I don't know, what, a couple weeks or longer?
Yep.
No, actually, during the day, and the day took a dive and then fired back up. It's not. It's at $1.11 now, or euros.
Yep.
And the
yen's at
pound is $1.30, which is what they targeted $1.30. It's $1.30.
Yep.
So that's not too bad. And the yen is $1.03, which is reasonable, or 103 yens, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Well, we got to par on the yen, the 100.
Yeah, recently. It didn't last.
It didn't last at all. You know, because now they're talking about something big.
Who?
Japan. They have on. I think the 21st, he's going to make some kind of a speech, and who knows what they're going to try to throw in the markets at this point.
Well, whatever they do doesn't work.
Yeah, so they should do the opposite.
Yes, exactly.
They should just shut up. Anyway, there is a lot of contradictions. That's what's been going on. I got to talk about this. This is probably one of the funniest, and I think the most interesting little thing that went on. It gives you an insight into the. Well, maybe the shenanigans of what goes on with markets. So I don't know if you caught this, but it's about Herbalife. So the story goes, we know that Herbalife.
Yeah.
We know that Herbalife was under scrutiny from this guy, Ackman, a well-known hedge fund manager. And he's shorting it, and he's, you know, has all these websites dedicated to this company being a pyramid scheme and a Ponzi scheme and a multi-level marketing and all the other stuff bad about this company. And he's doing, of course, for altruistic reasons. He wants to make sure that nobody gets hurt by their business practices. But, of course, he's got a $1 billion short position on it. So now he comes out on Friday, I think. Yes, Friday. He comes out on Friday morning with news that Jefferies, who is a brokerage house, approached him about selling a large block of Herbalife, a few million shares. They're shopping it around. Now, first of all, let me tell you the story, and then we'll go back. We got to really look at this because there's some really weird things. Now, he said during this, he believes it was Icahn's position because Icahn is long. Ackman thinks, this is probably Icahn's position that he's probably trying to shop around, and that's the information he got at least, because Icahn knows that the company is toast. That's what he said, the company's toast. This is what Ackman is saying about Icahn. Shares fall about 6.5% on this news, thinking, oh my God, Icahn's getting out of this thing. He was the one really holding it up. He was a big advocate for the company. You know, he's looking to shop it around, big blocks. I want to get out before he gets out. Now, later in the day, after the close, Icahn announces that he bought
a short novel.
This is unbelievable. This is great. He bought 2.5 million shares of Herbalife during the day at the in the market to increase his position. He said that Ackman has no idea what he's talking about.
Ackman more or less drove the stock down, allowing a buying opportunity.
Yep.
For Icahn,
mm-hmm.
which he wouldn't have normally had.
Right. Now, the big question is, first of all, there's a few questions here. If Jefferies is shopping a block, who leaked the information to the Wall Street Journal that this shopping was going on? Because if you were a brokerage house, John, and you were asked, and I asked you, I said, listen, I got a large position I want to unload. You're not going to leak that to the press because that would take your price down.
Yeah, definitely would take the price down.
Right. So something's a little fishy about that. The second thing was, you're probably not going to know whose position it is. Because then you'll, if Jefferies is shopping this around.
Well, it's one way to lose a customer, that's for sure.
Lose a customer. They could work against the customer.
Probably could sue them.
Yeah, there's all sorts of problems. So something's really weird about this. Now, the big question is Icahn, who has had a very combative relationship with Ackman, was he just buying these shares in the market just to screw Ackman and to make it look like he was still holding his position, where in fact, maybe it was his position that they were shopping in order to throw everybody off, to raise the price so that he can go back and sell underneath? What do you think about that?
That's even better.
I think that's the play.
Well, it could be one more dimension to it, you know, just the opposite of what you said.
What's that?
That is that the scheme that you just outlined,
yes,
is actually the opposite of what he's going to do, but he wants everyone to think what you're thinking.
Ah, I see. So it's a reverse of the reverse.
Yeah.
The thing is that it is very clear that after the FTC fined Herbalife $250 million, actually made them change their practices, that there's no way that Herbalife can actually continue to make the kind of profitability that they did before. Not to mention they just lost $250 million. So I don't know what Icahn is thinking about this company. If you were just trying to be neutral, I would think that he would not be increasing his position, because if he liked the company prior to the FTC coming in, I don't think it was the FTC, was it? DOJ. It was DOJ. I think it was DOJ. If whoever it was, if he liked the company before because they were making all this money based on this XYZ business practice, and now they can't do that any longer, what's to like about the company?
Nothing.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I think it's a long-term short.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with you. Now, there's a new complaint also that after they came out with their annual report or their quarterly report and their earnings, they stated a bunch of things, obviously, in their quarterly report. But on the call, they said things that were contrary to what was actually in the report. So there's a big complaint now, and I guess it's with the Federal Trade Commission. So there you go. Everything you need to know about Herbalife, but a great story. I thought it was a cool story.
No, it's excellent.
Now, I need to ask you, the last few days you have been on a tear with the tweeting. What's going on?
I have?
I just keep seeing retweets and tweets. And
I tweet for about an hour a day.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
So maybe I happen to look just at that hour.
I think so.
Yeah. That's at The Real Dvorak, by the way. You can follow John C. Dvorak on Twitter, at The Real Dvorak, and me at Andrew Horowitz. Okay, now the official, and this is a far-reaching and very accurate poll on Bitcoin, is completed.
Okay.
And our results, I think we should have given them two choices because it's pretty much a third, a third, a third. Is Bitcoin a viable currency? Definitely 33%. Not quite sure, 31%. And absolutely not 37%. So we gained...
Yeah, so we learned nothing.
Absolutely nothing. Nothing. No,
we learned absolutely nothing.
Not a piece of information did we learn from this whole thing. So epic waste of time.
I don't think you would have learned much more if you didn't have the third choice.
No?
Yeah, I'll probably been split down the middle.
Mm. All right. Well, there we go. Back to more contradictions. That's definitely the theme here. Mylan Labs. You've been watching this story?
Yeah.
With the EpiPen?
Yeah.
So this is a company that makes the EpiPen for those people who are having a anaphylactic shock due to, I don't know, peanuts?
Peanuts and whatever.
Whatever it is.
Bee stings.
Did you know anybody that was allergic to peanuts back in your day?
No.
What
bee stings, yes. But
bee stings, fine. No. Yeah, bee stings, fine. I'll give you that. But peanuts, peanut oil, peanut, you know, Mr. Goodbar.
Yeah.
Nobody was, you didn't have in school and you look over and all of a sudden, you know, Johnny is eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and then all of a sudden his throat swells up and everybody's like, oh, well, allergic to peanuts.
There's a lot of talk about this, what you're bringing up. Trying to figure out why all of a sudden we have a bunch of kids with peanut allergies. And most people believe it's because they're not, a peanut's a screwball thing anyway. Most people believe it's because they're coddled and they're not introduced to peanuts early enough in their childhood.
Really?
Yeah.
I would think that a no agenda theme would be something to do with Monsanto.
It could be an element to that. What I would do if I was going to look into that from that no agenda style of thinking, I would take a look at the peanuts in Asia. How many people in China, which are big peanut eaters, how many people in China have peanut allergies compared to Americans?
When I was in Myanmar, the base oil that they use for just about everything is peanut oil.
Yeah, and it's not only that. We get that. That's a different peanut oil than most people get in the United States. Most people get like Planters, which has no flavors whatsoever. It tastes like a neutral oil. The good peanut oil, which you buy in Asian stores, is kind of red colored and or orangey. And it has a very unique and intense flavor that makes, if you're going to cook Chinese food, it makes your Chinese food taste much more authentic.
Yep. But I didn't notice anybody saying in any of the restaurants, oh, no, no peanut, no point. Please don't cook it in the peanut. No, it wasn't on the menu. It didn't say, like, you know, ingredients cooked in peanut oil, nothing like that.
Right.
So something here in the U.S., or maybe it's a conspiracy of some sort. Who knows?
I don't think it's a conspiracy, but we don't know what's going on. That's
more,
for sure.
More warm nuts for me on the plane. That's the good news.
More warm nuts. Why do they heat? Well, there's a question for you. You like to bitch about these sorts of things, barefoot and all this.
Yeah.
Why do they heat the nuts up? What is the point? Is there something in the is heated nuts actually something that that's natural? When you're out nut picking and you're grabbing some nuts to eat, are they normally hot when they come off the tree?
I don't know, but I like when I'm on the Asian Airlines, and the flight attendant comes up to me and says, "Would you like warm nuts?" I'm like, "Yes, please." I'm just telling you, that's the only thing I know that's good about it.
I just don't. Somebody can explain to me what is the appeal of warm nuts?
Oh, warm nuts with a scotch is very good.
It's no good without being warmed.
I don't know. I've never had them unwarmed, so I couldn't tell you. But they I don't know. It's like anything else. Why would you prefer your dinner to be warm versus cold? Just has a different
hot food, maybe because it's just like, you know.
It's not hot food. You have to heat it. It's not like it comes off the cow.
There's
hot.
A lot of things that. There's a, well, like a steak.
Yeah, but a steak doesn't come off the cow hot. You have to heat it and eat it.
No, you have to cook it. It's the difference between heating and cooking. These nuts that you're talking about are not cooked nuts.
They're roasted. Cooked. What are you talking about? They've been roasted.
They're not roasted in the airplane.
Oh, they're not? How about boiled peanuts? You like boiled peanuts? Cajun?
Yes, I do. They're absolutely delicious. You know how to do them.
Yeah, Cajun boiled peanuts. Nothing like those. And you can't just eat a few, by the way.
And if you eat, if you do it right, you can eat the whole damn thing without taking it out of the shell.
Yeah, you just kind of manipulate it really well and get all the juice. Anyway, Mylan Labs, who obviously is the saver of life when it comes to anaphylactic shock and all things related to bee stings and major allergies and people who are allergic to peanuts, et cetera, they had the idea that, you know what, we're going to raise the price on these EpiPens. So they raised them, you know, a good chunk, and that caught the eye of Hillary Clinton immediately.
From $100 to $600.
Well, it was $100 back in 2009. It's been rising ever so slowly.
Yeah.
And the last price increase was another, you know, maybe, I don't know what it was, but it was enough to set off some alarms.
Yeah. And as if all the drugs out there, if people would just take a look, haven't been jacked up.
Yeah.
Here's the, yeah.
No, they have. That's the point.
They've all been jacked up. I don't know why they just picked on this one woman who seems to be an idiot.
Well, I think the reason is that a lot of the companies have stopped this process and this practice because of what happened a year ago when Hillary Clinton was kind of pointing the finger and coming out with a plan to stop this whole thing. And when Valiant and, you know, all the companies that were in the practice of buying up companies with small drugs that had that Marty Schreckel, where they had small drugs that were, you know, only a few dollars and jacked the prices up like crazy. Yeah. This is a little bit more, that's egregious. That's terrible. You know, you have a $10, a drug that's $10 a month and you jack it up to $500. That's bad.
Yeah. How about making it illegal? I don't mind the government coming in and passing some laws. These are monopolies we're talking about.
Yep.
The monopolies are more or less an illegal business.
Mm-hmm.
You're a monopoly, by the way, I don't see anybody. I'd actually would be mad at my board of directors and or the company if they had a monopoly on a drug and didn't jack it up as much as they could.
Yeah,
that's what monopolies do. That's what you're supposed to do. You go through all the trouble to become a monopoly, which is why they're made illegal. You go through all this trouble to become a monopoly, and then you don't just gouge.
Yeah, right. I mean, if you got it already, you might as well, right?
You gouge. That's what you do until they tell you to not gouge.
Well, that's exactly what's going on. You look at all of these companies that have FDA grants of exclusivity on a drug, and that's what they do. And they know they have it for a certain period of time, so they might as well make, you know, hay while the sun is shining.
And then to make matters worse, so, I have a lot of complaints about this.
So now she comes on and does a TV, you know, thinking, oh, I have children, and oh, of course, I, of course.
Like a cheerleader. And, she sounds like one.
And there was some hard questions asked of her that she didn't really clarify. There's some really weird things that she said. If you're listening and you have any desire, I would look this up. Look at the, you know, EpiPen Mylan Labs CEO interview on CNBC and I think on Bloomberg. There was a question about, well, if, by the way, let's just also set the stage. After Hillary Clinton puts this whole, you know, shaking the finger and puts out this whole blog post and really identifies this particular circumstance, like a day later, they're like, oh, yep, we're going to do something. We're going to reduce the rate. It's like, really? I mean, how about, you know, admitting you're guilty? Like, you know, instead of fighting it. So they come out and they're like, well, we're going to give like a $300 coupon or something like that. We can't reduce the price because if we reduce the price, the end consumer is not going to get any benefit.
What?
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's what she said. Because something about how it passed through multiple hands of the from them.
You know, she said something else really stupid now that you mention it. She when the thing first came up, she says, oh, that's because of the what is it called? Copays. She says, because of the copays, we had to raise the price.
Yeah,
what?
Wait.
How does that mean nothing. Anything? It's right. It's a meaningless thing to say.
Yep.
Because my car has four wheels, and so we had to raise the price.
Yeah, exactly. It's just not even, it's stupid. And then she said if we lower the price, it won't be passed on, and that's probably what she's talking about, the copay to a degree, if somebody has insurance, but we're talking about also people without insurance, or maybe schools that need to get this in their system so that, you know, they were talking about how terrible it is that, you know, poor little Johnny was sitting there suffering, choking to death, and there was only two EpiPens in the school and it had somebody else's name on it. And they couldn't give it to him. They need to have like a defibrillator in each school and everywhere around. You have to have these EpiPens floating around everywhere. which it wouldn't be a bad idea, but you know, obviously she wants it everywhere because there's more profitability. But then they come out with this other thing where now they're going to do a generic version, which I didn't understand how they
the
have a
patent runs out on this thing. I think it from the dates, the way I look at them, the patent has long since run out, so anyone could do this. There's a patent on the little pinprick thing that got the little the injectors, like right. special kind of an injector. There, I think that patent is still hanging in there. The drug itself has got is way out of patent, and they could find some other.
They got to do one of those things that dissolves. You know what I'm talking about under the tongue? One of those quick dissolves.
Yeah.
Those kind of things.
It won't work as well, let me tell you.
All right. Well, but now they this is the funny thing. They're going to give the generics for about $300. Meanwhile, they say that it cost them something like $275 for each two pack or something like that. So now they're going to do this for $300. This is one of their major drugs, and the stock it dropped a bit. But there's like I don't understand this whole thing. Why? Some people are like, well, some of the analysts, you know, this is going to be good for Mylan. It's going to actually increase their profitability. It's like, what are you talking about? I don't understand. The whole thing is just so
the whole
bizarre.
Thing is for cacta.
Well, yeah, it's a good word. And it's just part and parcel with this whole market. It just goes back to the same thing of these ridiculous things that are being said. You know, oh, it's like back in the 2000s. Don't worry that they don't have earnings. Everything is fine. You know, it's the same thing. Don't worry that their major drug they have to take a major cut on. They're still going to make plenty of money on, you know, whatever. But if we're all counting on this drug, I'm not going to go through it. Anyway, let's talk about another ridiculous situation. Vaping. You've seen this, right?
You know, people vaping?
Vaping.
Yeah, okay.
This is the smoking, the...
Have you ever seen these guys who have the vape mods?
Oh, yeah. And they can blow these smoke rings and do these tricks. Have you seen these
smoke
videos?
Smoke rings, they can fill a room.
Yeah, exactly. So now, Philip Morris, the company, the cigarette company, let's see, they're saying, one of their head guys saying, our goal for Japan is to switch every consumer we have to this. They bought some.
What?
Yep, they bought every they bought a couple of the major vape companies, whatever, so they have their own vaping product. He said, our goal for Japan, because they do a lot of smoking there, is to switch every consumer we have to this. Which
why?
Obviously, I'll tell you why. The real reason is it's probably more profitable. But then he said, for me, it's like a no-brainer. The biggest thing we know is that smoking kills. If we got an alternative to that, that's a pretty good reason to switch. Now, this is from a company that pretty much suppressed the fact that nicotine and tobacco and all that would give you cancer, right? Now they want to switch you over to something else, apparently with nicotine and stuff in it, and says that this doesn't kill, and we have no data on this vaping thing at all.
No, none.
And
well, there's a couple of things that you have to, while you continue, before you continue with your rant. First of all, the Japanese are genetically disinclined to get lung cancer.
Well, that's good.
And they know, yes, and they know this, and they like to kind of brag about it, and they like to smoke a lot. So they smoke because they don't think it's dangerous under any circumstances because of their nature. And so that's a market that's kind of locked down for smokers, and it's not like they're all dropping dead or anything because they're not. I don't see the reason because a reason to switch to the vaping. Vaping, the mechanism for vaping, which is supposed to be safety, and it's vapors instead of smoke, it's like nerdy. It's dumb. And the Japanese aren't going to go for it.
Yep. I would tend to agree. But they want to switch everybody because the biggest thing is we know that smoking...
They should do a little better. Right? Now I've lost confidence in Philip Morris. If everything you said is true,
I have no confidence. I cut and paste to this. The biggest thing is we know that smoking kills. If we got an alternative to that, that's a pretty good reason to switch. So not that they should stop entirely, but they should buy another one of our products.
Right. Yeah, there you go. That's actually the real kicker. There's your irony.
Yeah.
It kills, stop doing it.
Yeah. Stop doing it. Don't do any of this.
Use this instead.
Yeah.
It might not kill.
Right, exactly. So, you know, maybe why don't we tell them to do some skydiving? Maybe people will get off in the skydiving. But, Philip Morris doesn't have a product for that, so I guess they can't do that. So they want to switch everybody. All right, last thing before we get to some of the important things about, like, a close to the pin competition, all that. Google, this, I think, was out tonight. And actually, there was some murmur about this earlier. Google is moving into Uber's, their turf, with its own ride-sharing service in San Francisco. Everything's in San Francisco. Nobody could test anything anywhere else. Everything's in
San Francisco.
It's unbelievable. That would help commuters carpool at far cheaper rates, according to a person familiar with the matter, whoever that is. And I also saw a story last week that it seems that Uber is not profitable in the U.S. Is that possible?
My understanding, and I haven't looked into it because I have no interest in the company, but my understanding is because of their books are all screwed up because of their adventure in China. They lost $1 billion just trying to market themselves there. And then instead they did a deal with the Chinese version of Uber and then left the country. And I think that somehow affected the California numbers or the U.S. numbers. I don't know. Mm. That's all I know. I don't know.
Well, now that Google's coming in,
I don't know how you cannot be profitable. All you are is a software program.
That's what I know. I don't understand either. These companies that spend such an unbelievable amount of money on continually paying for development and all that, which I know is important, but to what? I mean, billions of dollars in money in development of something that works.
They want to move to the driverless car, so they don't have to split revenue with anyone.
Well, that's the problem here. Now, Google is
coming. Go on, because I have thoughts on this.
Yeah,
too.
Now Google's already working on their own, autonomous stuff. So who knows if they're going to just try to just, hone it. It's not the Uber technology is for a technology company. It's easy, relatively easy to copy.
You'd think.
You would think.
Well, I mean, Lyft has got a very similar technology. Yeah. It's different.
The taxi services have the same technology these days. The local taxis.
They just cost more.
Right. So what were you going to say about this?
I forgot.
Mm. You got to get a pad of paper and write stuff down.
It was something to do with, okay, I'll bring it back in a second. It was something to do with the driverless car thing. If these guys are, see, I think I mentioned this either on the No Agenda Show or someplace. Here's what I see as a problem that has nobody's even discussing, let addressing. This whole scam began as something called ride sharing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm going to be driving down to Los Angeles. Does anybody want a ride? Which is the oldest version, which is all you go to Craigslist and say, anybody want to drive with me down to Los Angeles if you want to help me pay for gas? And you would, that ride sharing on Uber and Lyft is in a kind of a logical extension of that, only computerized. So you don't put a note out on Craigslist. You put it on the computer and the someone says, yes, me, bing. They push the button, you show up, pick them up.
Mm-hmm.
How is that even remotely applied to driverless?
Yeah, because the car isn't just like happening to go down there. That's, a car that happens to go down from Fort Lauderdale to Miami, you know what that's called? A train or a bus. I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Well, so I guess they're going to be.
How does the word ride sharing, which is what they've used to weasel their way past certain laws. Oh, all we're doing is ride sharing. This guy's got a car and he's going to share a ride with this guy and then he's going to give him some money. That's what the old thing was. How do you rationalize that when it's a driverless car that the company owns? It's a taxi. It has to get a medallion.
Mm-hmm. Well, now there's companies, by the way, that are financing. You can actually go in and become an Uber driver, get your car financed, have your money automatically debited from your Uber account. Once we get into this reminds me of the boom in homes when everybody was buying and flipping and then renting out and they could just get money cheap and everybody was like financing them so they could do so.
Flipping homes.
Right. It's the same exact thing. Once the autonomous vehicles come in, all these people, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of people or more are Uber drivers around the world. And I don't know how many in the U.S., but can you imagine if those people have to hit the unemployment rolls, what that's going to look like?
It's going to be, the whole thing is a mess.
Maybe that's some of the reason why we have such good employment numbers is you got all these people in these various underground types of services. Maybe not.
There's a lot of screwiness going. This is not going on for much longer. Mm. And now that the Beanie Baby thing is back in vogue, now I know it's going to crash.
Yeah, so now you got a problem.
I'm going to dump my two. I have two Beanie Babies that are very valuable.
Yeah, we're going to have to search that out. Let's talk about, well, I mentioned about donating to the show, of course, but I could have mentioned it again, I guess. If you want to donate to the show, just go over to DH Unplugged on the show notes, on the right-hand side, on the bottom, on the top. There's plenty of places. You can't miss it. I don't want to hear that you, I can't find it. It's right there. It won't hurt. Let's see. Now, closest to the pin competition, a few things I need to update you on. So first of all, you know, we started this, the closest to the pin cup, which is each month. We did it start in August.
Championship.
Yep. Yep. The big time. Where we're going to try to guess, same rules basically. You're going to guess the closing price of the Dow Jones Industrial Average at the end of each month. And those players are going to go, once we get all those people, are going to go into a final competition for the grand prize.
Right, December.
Which we haven't announced. We're going to do it, is that what we do in December? Yeah. So we'll have, well, how many people we have then? We'll have August, September, October, November. Four people?
Four or five guys. Yeah. Well, four guys, I guess.
We could also throw four, in, seven, I'm just seven, saying, seven, we could throw in all the winners from the other games too.
Let's do it.
Yeah, okay.
We'd make an executive decision right on the spot. Yeah. Yes, okay. Anyone who's one closest to the pin will be in to pick the Dow on December.
Yep. All opposed? Okay. Passes. So now, last month, due to some technical difficulties, I used the Dow Jones Industrial Average ETF. That's the one running right now. It will close at the close of business, I guess, tomorrow. Today's Tuesday, August 31st. Yeah. So at the close of business tomorrow, which is Wednesday, actually, this will close. I think I tweeted it was Thursday, but anyway, on Wednesday. And the next one, which you can get your entries in, starts on the 1st of September. And we'll have it open for about 10 days where you can put your guess in. But that one is actually going to be the Dow Jones Industrial Average.
Ah, okay, good.
I was able to fix that. So with the crack team that we have for development. Currently we're running, actually we could, you know, you could take a look at, we have that running here. You could look at the, currently with Twitter, we have, let's see what we have here. The final price date of Twitter, I guess you could still register here. Let's see. Entries closed on 9/2. So there's a few more days to actually do that. And right now, just to give you an update on the winners and who is closest for the current Closest to the Pin Cup. You and I are not playing this, so our numbers are going to look really weird. Right now, Kirk S. is a penny away.
Well, not over yet.
Drone Pirate Robert. Please, people, we just put your names on here.
I like these names.
Yeah, okay. Drone Pirate Robert is in second place, 4 cents away. Robert M, 7 cents. Then we get further. Aaron, by the way, that it's $185 stock here. And 1 cent away is pretty darn good. And then
it's outrageous.
Yeah, let's see who's the furthest away. Let's go all the way down here. Not embarrassing anybody. There's a lot of people on here. These people really thought it was going to crash, it looks like.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, people down 12% lower. The average entry prices that people put in was $182.77, which is about only 1% away, right? About 1% away.
There's still plenty of time.
Yeah. See, one day. We'll see what happens. Anyway, you can enter the Closest to the Pin competition, the fun that we have on the contest each and every so often. But you could do it for Twitter coming up. And of course, you have 3 days for that. And then the Dow Jones Industrial Average for the cup, for the big grand prize. So you go over to DH Unplugged for that as well. If only we had advertising on the DH Unplugged, that would be great because then we'd have all these people going and hitting the site.
Well, we have, every once in a while we pick up some advertising.
Yeah, I don't really press it. It's just, you know, advertising with the websites and all that, that's, that whole.
Yeah, I know, it's nickel and dime.
And I can't stand watching it anyway. You know, when I log on a site and I just, it makes me annoyed.
Put an ad blocker up like I do.
Oh, that's an idea.
Yeah, they work. And then you get, although there's a couple of things you'll never get to see, like Forbes. Forbes comes, you have an ad blocker. We see that you have an ad blocker. And then they have a lecture. Do you know that the money we make is from advertising and you have an ad blocker? And then they pretty much don't let you read anything, so I just don't go there.
What's going on with the website? All of a sudden, I can't see stuff on my website.
Well, it's your browser, probably.
Something is.
I was just there. It looks fine.
Yeah, but this is not looking good here. This is something is not right. Where am I? Oh, I know where I am. Huh. Let me just do something here. Let me click this button. Still messed up.
Huh. It's fine on mine.
No, this is really messed up all of a sudden. It must be something I did.
Reboot your computer.
Well, I'm not doing that while we're on the horn here. I moved somewhere and I don't know what happened. Something all of a sudden is not looking right. I don't know what's going on. My whole thing looks weird. All right, let's take a look. Okay. Yeah, see, this is not in the right spot all of a sudden. Everything is kind of weird here.
Yeah.
All right, update on the Global Millennial Challenge.
Oh, right. We have the Coots versus the Coots versus the Creeps.
Yeah, this is really weird. Okay. So we made some updates. We took some things out. We put some things in. The new list is on the show notes.
Much better list.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's see what we have here. All right. All right. Let's continue on here. How are we doing on time? Let me check my time here. Okay, good. European Union. They announced that there's going to be a ruling against Apple where Apple has to pay back taxes on money they earned, particularly in Ireland.
Yeah, it's a gouge.
$14 billion.
Yeah, and that's spit in the bucket. They got $200 billion in the bank.
All right, what do they just pick a number that's like, it's a lot, but not going to hurt.
It's a lot, but they can afford it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a gouge. The EU keeps gouging American companies.
Yep. All right, let's see what else. So there's on September 7th, Apple is going to be coming out supposedly with an iPhone 7 announcement.
Yeah, that's what my next column's about. Thank you for asking.
Oh, good. What are you going to be talking about? Well, you have to read it, I guess.
Well, you have to read it, but it's about the iPhone 7 and what it's going to have and what it's not going to have and who cares.
Yeah.
It's a good column.
Okay. I hope it's going to be waterproof of some level, but I doubt it.
They say it's going to be water resistant.
It's going to piss people off. They're going to do things like, I'll tell you what they'll do. They're good at this. Removing the headphone jack, which is something they've been talking about.
Yeah, that's surely gone.
And then they'll have a dual camera so that you have to actually change your case. You can't keep the old case.
The thing is going to be big. It's only on the big one, the big giant one. And you can just gouge out a little more room for the other camera. Just take your old case and take a paper punch and pop on it. Boom, boom. You're going to have plenty of room.
Okay, good. That's good to know. So we'll see. There can be more colors, wireless charging, more. Who knows? I have this plan with AT&T where I'm kind of in a lease deal. And supposedly when they come out with a new one, I get a free one, I think, or
yes,
something.
Take it.
Oh, so I get the new one. Oh, that'd be good.
My son says that as far as he's concerned, says he's been on both platforms on and off. He says, as far as he's concerned, he likes the iPhone. Everybody likes the iPhone. Why wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
He says they're built to fall apart. And I remember an old car, like an old commercial once where some said, oh, the new iPhone's coming out tomorrow. And the guy's holding an iPhone and it just falls. It crumbles into pieces right
on hand. That day.
On the day. Boom. There it goes. Just a million pieces. I think he says this is absolutely true. That they just are not built to last. It's not a product built to last.
Well, they shouldn't be because how would they make more money?
Yeah. You got to get a new one.
Plus, these are not things that are just, you don't just, like a computer, you leave, you don't touch, you don't carry it with you, you don't sit on it, you don't drop it, you know, you don't get it wet. It's a little bit different, you know. It has to be a little bit more durable, but yet at the same time, there's a lot of, you know, it's like a boat. Things are always getting weird on a boat. Why? Because you're constantly banging and you're in the seas and you got the weather and stuff. You know, a phone's getting beat up pretty good.
I had a guy who I ran into in Los Angeles who was a Lamborghini guy. He was some sort of minister or something. He had a Lamborghini. And it was a new one. And I was talking to him about it because he was standing there. So we're yakking about this Lamborghini. He says, you ever going to buy a Lamborghini? He says, well, it's a lifestyle thing. If you choose to have these sorts of cars, you have to live with it.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, if you're ever going to, there's a tip for me, as if. It was a tip for me. He says, if you ever get a Lamborghini, and this is something everyone out there who hopes to get rich and buy a Lamborghini or a Lambo, as they like to call them.
The Lambo.
He says, always buy them new or within warranty. He says, the day they fall out of warranty, they fall apart.
And those are not cheap to fix.
No, no. So the day after warranty, they fall apart. And he says, that's the first thing he learned. And then he's, ever since then, he's only bought new ones.
Mm. Hmm.
That's why I don't see too many old Lamborghinis on the road.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Let's talk about, do we really care about this Mondelez Hershey story? Hershey was supposedly being bought by Mondelez, and Mondelez said, screw you. I guess Hershey kept on wanting to push the price. And
let's talk about it when the deal's done.
Yeah. Massachusetts great. Looking to dump daylight savings time because it gets dark too early.
Well, they're up in the northern part of the country where the sun does a different kind of a number on you. Yep. And I think Arizona is the only state that doesn't have daylight savings time. So it wouldn't be completely unprecedented because one state's already into that. But
Do you remember when they had those special lights and special things for people that get depressed?
Yes, you can buy. Well, there's two things, actually. You can buy. We have those up north in Washington state. The Vilux natural light bulbs.
Yeah.
And you get a bunch of those, and they help a lot. And the other thing is vitamin D3.
Yeah, there you go. We should actually, if you want, we can come up with a package for that. Uplifting light plan. Sounds good. I mean, you sound like a pitch man.
I could do it.
Yeah, I hear it. Libertarian, your pick, Gary Johnson's plan for capturing the White House. Basically, he's saying that, you know what? Nobody can stand these other two guys, so I got a shot.
Yeah, he's got no shot. He's stoned all the time. You can see it.
Mm-hmm. Headline, Weight Watchers. This is the headline. Weight Watchers shares are moving higher in recent trade. Move attributed to New York Post article citing Oprah's weight loss success.
Brother.
She keeps on gaining weight and then losing weight, gaining weight and losing weight.
It's like the market play.
Yeah. Abercrombie and Fitch, which she doesn't fit into anymore, teen apparel retailer, posted their 14th straight quarterly decline in sales. Maybe they should stop making shirts with their name slapped across it. I mean, who came up with that idea? I know what we're going to do. I'm just going to put our name on everything, and that's going to be our entire image. Our name slapped across the shirt. So stock is down like 20%.
I don't, they used to 50%. Have, I think they used to have a lot of stores, and I think they've been closing them.
Yep. Let's see. Last two things. We talked about what you're writing about. We got to talk about just for a second. You haven't gone yet, and this could be possibly a little carrot to get you there. There's some talk about Chipotle offering free food on Sundays.
Free food?
Seriously.
Yes. You don't want to go to Chipotle, but if it's free.
Yeah.
Oh, it's free.
It's free.
Maybe I'll die, but it's free.
Yeah, a little E. coli. I'll test it out maybe. What could be so bad? But they're going to be doing that. Does that seem like the most desperate move you've ever heard?
It's pretty bad.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. That makes me even more likely not to go.
I don't know how this stock can sustain.
Mm. Yeah, I don't. Some of these companies.
I'm shortened. That's today's thing. I'm shortened Chipotle.
Okay, let's get over to that. Of course.
Based on that one news item.
You can find out all of the information that we talked about. You can see the show notes, et cetera, on dhunplugged.com. Please make sure to go over there. The site is looking really good. Got all sorts of fun things, games, and information that you can check out. Links to some of the stories that we talk about, et cetera. We spent a good deal of time trying to put that together for you so that you can have some of the best information out there. But, if you just listen to No Agenda and DH Unplugged, that's it. And the Common Element, the Common Element, right?
No.
You.
Oh, yeah. Common Element. I thought it was another podcast called The Common Element.
Oh, yeah. The Common Element. Yeah. Tuesdays at 5. Oh, it's you.
Yeah. I'm The Common Element.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. I'm a versatile guy.
Yep. All right. Let's talk about this. This is a game that we play. It's called the DH Unplugged Weekly Stock Picks, where we pick some stocks and give some ideas and thoughts on what's going to happen. There's a game only. It's not a recommendation to buy or sell any security. If John C. Dvorak, myself, or Horowitz Company clients own any of the stocks, well, we'll duly note that. And of course, if you decide for whatever reason, you have a moment of insanity that you want to buy or sell or do whatever we talk about here, please see a competent financial advisor before doing so. We don't take any responsibility for your losses. We take donations for your winnings. There you go. Let's see here. And I'm serious about the donation. If you made a chunk of money on something, you send a little something to John. Just go over to the site. I got
it's not a bad idea.
I think it's only reasonable. It's selfish not to.
I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hold on a second. I got to open this up because I had it open and I don't know why it was closed, but it was. So I can't open that little thing.
Well, let me talk a little bit through some of this, by the way. Express came off the list. Express, this is a little flaw in the system because we have a 10% stop. So it was up like 25% and it came down like 20%. but it was an overnight thing, so we're still up 10%. We're probably maybe only up 5% if you got caught with that. But Express came out with earnings. It was just nasty. Advanced Auto Parts up 3.5%. That's John's pick. Our joint pick up 22.7%. That's Barclays. Sevcon is Insiders. John's pick, 2.75%. Herbalife, that's my short, up 2.82%, but got stopped out. We're going to talk about that in a minute.
You're putting it back on? What's the deal here?
Yeah, I'm going to put it back on. Netflix, John's two-time desire to buy the stock, if you remember that. He's a real buyer. Up 6.5%. Biogen up 4.5%. Shake Shack, the short, up 15%.
This is I think, the most, I mean, although we do have the Barclays, but the Shake Shack pick I thought was really well-timed.
Yeah, that was that happened.
It was yours.
Yep.
But you keep an eye on that. I'm waiting for Crocs to show up again.
Oh, don't even kid around. I almost had it. I was like, you can't see how close because the director bought, the stock started moving, but it's still in the shitter. It's terrible. I'm adding a stock called Weibo or Weibo.
I know Weibo.
Yep. This is like the Twitter of Asia.
Yeah, right. Weibo. Yeah.
So
ADRs.
I'm thinking that maybe this stock has been on a tear lately.
So you think it's a short.
Yeah, it did what's called an island reversal. Something I noticed. Where it goes up, it kind of peaks out, and all of a sudden it goes, oh, boom. Comes back down, finished the day lower yesterday. Today was actually lower a bit too. And there's a lot of short interest. I don't think the fundamentals behind it really hold. Maybe there's something else going on, possibly behind the scenes. But the bottom line is it's still, I just don't see it. Then I'm going to also put on Herbalife once again, where because my thesis, Icon is bluffing.
Yeah, that's a good play. I like it. Mm-hmm. I'd go for something like that. I'm going to do
Chipotle.
I am going to play the Chipotle short.
Okay, that's on.
And then I have another one here.
We always look for the thesis. What's your thesis on Chipotle?
Well, if what you said is that this is an act of desperation. That means some bad numbers or something's coming. They're doing anything they can to get people back in those stores. So I think something bad's going to happen just based on that one little tidbit, like an old woman.
I got it.
It's the old woman style of investing.
Desperation. All right, what else you got?
I am going to go with, even though it's just, the chart looks good, it looks like it could just go to 90, but Penske Automotive Group.
So you're gonna use two. You have two automotives here now. You have Advanced Auto Parts.
Yeah, something going on with these cars. But the reason I'm doing, because this is an insider play. There's like $15 million worth of shares bought.
What's the symbol? PNSK. What is the symbol?
PAG.
PAG. Okay.
Penske Automotive Group. Now he's been buying a lot of this stuff since back in the. He's been doing this probably about a year now. It's buys, millions and millions and millions of dollars. He's up to 31 million shares, and he had was selling for a while the same thing until let's see, I guess June 2nd, 2004. I have to see when he started buying. But he's been doing it for a while, a number of months, especially in August. And lots, going nuts. And it's one of the board members, Roger Penske.
Oh, he's got the name. Is he related?
He's the chairman and CEO. Yeah, he's related. He's definitely related. So I figure if the chairman of the board and CEO, Roger Penske, is going nuts buying Penske Auto Group, he's seeing something that, up ahead that just looks like money, money, money.
Mm-hmm.
So and he's buying. He started buying at 39, 38, 40, 36. Buying. And this last batch he bought for 44. He bought tons. He bought $4 million at 44. He bought $7 million worth at 44.25, a little dip. Then he bought $8.7 million at 43.99.
Wow.
He's the... he's going to own all the buy. Okay, now sell to who?
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of a joke coming up, perhaps.
Yeah, well, he'll sell. You know what? The company will put in a share buyback program. It'll sell to the company.
Yeah, good. It would work.
Uh-huh.
But look at the chart. It's really one of those charts where you see these. It's like it's just a relentless just a nice, slow, relentless move.
Let's take a look here. 2% today. Come on. There we go. Chart up. Okay, let's look at a five-year chart here. Yep. And it kind of came down a little bit recently, but now it's starting to kind of, yep. It pays a decent dividend, too.
Yep. Oh, what's the dividend?
Let's see. Dividend is, where's my dividend? Dividend yield is 2.46%.
Oh, it's better than money in the bank.
Yep. Isn't that true?
Anyway, so there you have it.
That's, all right. Very good.
And all right. I don't see that when I look at that chart, I also don't see the zigzaggy thing that's gonna bump me out of the stock.
Right. I mean, it did go from 32 recently to 40. Where is it now? 45. That's a pretty good move. That's just in 2016.
Yeah, it could have a little pullback, but I think Penske buying all this stock is probably going to stabilize it a little bit.
And there's also a news item that institutions have increased their position in Penske Automotive Group. That was today. Roger Penske buying more. Yep. Low volatility, elevated levels. That's good. And their earnings are coming out. Let's see. October 27th. So you got some time on that. He's the chairman of the board and the chief executive officer in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan. Yo, Blue. Go Blue.
Yeah, they've been winning a lot of NASCAR races, too. They've been doing pretty well for themselves.
There you go.
That's all promotional, of course.
Mm-hmm. All right, good stuff. All right, we're going to end it there. And, of course, you can listen in on No Agenda twice a week. You can follow John C. Dvorak over at The Real Dvorak. On Twitter, myself, Andrew Horowitz. And make sure to tell some friends what a great time you have each and every week listening to us gents.
Yes. All right.
All right. I'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Nice touch. All right. Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.